You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The Athletics' Lee Ellis joins us. Talk some NBA. Yeah, it's not quite Christmas Day yet, but there's a lot of good action that is going on in the association. How are you, Lee?
Fine, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's get right to the Phoenix Suns. This was a good team last year, surprise team, made it to the finals, enjoyed the ride, but looks like the ride's continued. Are they different than last year, the same? What do you make of last year's version versus what we're seeing now?
I think you're just seeing a team that actually believes in itself now and really has that confidence. I'd like to say championship confidence, but of course they came two games short. But they certainly have that belief in them that they are a contender, a legit contender. The season actually got off to a bit of a slow start there. They were 1-3, and it looked like there was a little bit of a hangover coming into the season, but they've quickly fixed that and went on that enormous win streak there, the 18-game straight, and certainly do look better. And I think also the fact that Devin Booker has missed the last couple of games here with a bit of a mild hamstring strain. Now, they lost the one game to the Warriors, but that was almost a revenge game anyway there for the Warriors. The Suns were due to lose one. But overall, I think you're seeing a team that has shown real growth, you know, in their important players. Like DeAndre Ayton, for example, you know, he came into the season. They didn't extend him there, the Suns, when they could have, and that caused a little bit of conflict between him and the organization. But he's put that behind him and gone out there and played really good basketball at both ends of the floor. And then if you look at someone like Mikal Bridges, who they did extend, he's actually gone out there and really shown that contract, I think it was five years, $90 million in the end, that could end up being a bargain for the Suns, because Bridges is really, really important to what they do at both ends of the floor. He understands his role on the offensive side of things. He's probably no better than the fourth option at best when you think of Paul, Booker and DeAndre Ayton there. So he has to make his money on the defensive end, and he's doing a fantastic job of that right now. Really causing a lot of problems for opposing offenses, playing the lanes, getting steals and creating a lot of transition offense. So overall, the Phoenix Suns, they've taken where they went last season and have built on that, and they certainly look like no worse than the second-best team in the Western Conference right now.
And how has the Western Conference been reshaped with the addition now that Golden State is back on top? They were just that fringe team on the end last year, but now they're back to being one of the top team in the NBA, or at least tied with Phoenix for being the top team in the NBA. How has that Western Conference shuffle looked with them being now a conference contender?
Yeah, well, I think what you've seen is, you know, the Warriors had 5 years of making the finals, 7 years of making the playoffs straight. And I think that Steph Curry, the following two seasons, you know, it caught up with him a little bit in the fact that the Warriors weren't as good. He wasn't as good as we'd seen him. And almost like he took a lot of time off. He was injured for a while there in the sort of pre-COVID shutdown season. And then last season they tried to get back, but they couldn't quite. And they're still missing, obviously, Klay Thompson. But now this team looks like it's refreshed and it's ready to go. And it looks like Steph has been rejuvenated, which is incredible to see because he's been playing such great basketball. I think he's the MVP favorite right now. There's a lot of the season to go. We're barely a quarter of the way through here. But I think he's just come back and he sort of wants to remind everybody, hey, you know, we were pretty good for a while there, and we believe we're as good as anybody. And I think you're seeing Andrew Wiggins is looking much more comfortable in that role now on that team. You know, he had the big trade a couple of seasons ago. It took him a while to fit in, but he understands what's expected of him. And then Draymond Green at the other end as well. He's sort of back to his defensive player of the year best. So the Warriors, you know, they're in win-now mode. They get Klay Thompson back sometime probably here in the next month, maybe even earlier. And that's a pretty good sign for the Warriors, because that's like adding a free agent, a guy who hasn't played since they made the finals there in 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh, right. It does.
You know. So it'd be great for the Warriors if they can get Klay Thompson back to full health. Now, it'll probably take him, you know, I would think at least a month, even longer, to sort of get back into his groove. But the Warriors, that continuity is there. You know, they brought back Andre Iguodala, who was a big part of their championships, and they've just had the pieces that have been there for a while, while also having a good mix of youth there with players like Juan Toscano-Anderson. Jordan Poole's been really good. And even Jonathan Kuminga in sort of spot minutes this season. So the Warriors have certainly sent a message around the rest of the league that, hey, you know, our championship window hasn't closed just because we haven't been to the playoffs the last two seasons.
The Lakers in their sort of ho-hum season right now, a game above 500, 5-5 over their last 10. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. I will just pay attention to LeBron's teams when they reach the playoffs because he has that extra gear. Is this, though, concerning? They give up a lot of points. Is this, though, concerning in early December about the way this team's playing?
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point, LeBron simply is going to slow down. I agree with what you say 100% that, like, we've sort of written off LeBron or dismissed him perhaps during the regular season only for him to sort of crank it up a gear in the playoffs. But, you know, no one's Superman. I mean, he's going to be 37 here at the end of this month. And as well as he's been playing, I don't think from watching him this season that he's still got that same explosiveness and that power. Last night, really good win for the Lakers against their old rival, the Boston Celtics. But really, through a quarter of the season so far, the Lakers defensively have been abysmal. And I just wonder, you know, it took the effort last night to get the victory, but is this team actually able to sustain that throughout the course of the season? I'm not convinced because Anthony Davis, you know, very good player, but he at times to me looks like he's not 100% healthy either. He maybe is carrying a few injuries around. Maybe his conditioning is just not all that great. But he hasn't really put his dominance on the team yet. Now, again, like I say, maybe in 25 games, maybe in another 30 or 40 games, the Lakers do start to click. But so far, it hasn't been a very convincing start. Russell Westbrook hasn't been a great fit. I mean, the stats are fine. He's almost averaging a triple-double in that same sort of bracket again. But it certainly isn't the same player that we've seen him in the past. So the Lakers certainly have some issues. I don't believe they can sort of really come back and challenge the Warriors and the Suns. Perhaps the Jazz, you know, maybe around there. And the Nuggets have obviously got some injury concerns of their own. But this is probably the least convincing Lakers team, or LeBron team, I should say, that I've seen, maybe in his career, really, at this point. Because usually you sort of have that belief that LeBron can turn around. I'm just not sure he can this season.
I feel bad staying in the Western Conference, but this is kind of where the party is. Let's go with Portland. They're struggling. Chauncey Billups is not working. The guy that hired Chauncey Billups is out. There's rumors now talk about Damian Lillard, trade value. What are you hearing about Portland, and what are they going to do with Lillard?
Well, Lillard, I think, is probably the last thing that they are going to do, the last move they're going to make. I think, firstly, they'll try to trade CJ McCollum or Yusuf Nurkic. I think those two can get them decent assets in return. And at that point, you're going to get an idea of which direction the franchise is going to go in. Do they trade those sort of guys for vets and other players who can contribute right now? Or do they take the other path where it's like, we just want draft capital in return, maybe a couple of first-round picks in the years to come? And if they signal that way, then I think it's pretty clear that they should move on from Damian Lillard. He's been a very loyal guy throughout his career. He's confessed his love to Portland and how he wants to be a Blazer for life. But that can sometimes also restrict you or hold you back from actually getting close to competing for a championship. The Blazers are nowhere near competing for a championship, and they won't be this season. So, you know, if Lillard wants to stay there, you know, it's admirable, that sort of quality to say, I want to be a one-team guy forever. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to be competing for championships, especially when you're a player who was named in the top 75 players of all time in the recent poll there from the NBA. So I think we're going to see a complete change there. I think you're going to see Lillard, McCollum and Nurkic all traded at some point. But I think those first two dominoes have to go. I don't think the Blazers move on from Chauncey Billups. I think it's a bad move to sign a guy his first year as a head coach to say, oh, you know what, it's your fault, you're out. I think you've got to at least give him one full season here and then reevaluate. But a pretty bad situation in Portland on the court and then off the court as well.
I do want to get to one team in the Eastern Conference. That's a team that played in the conference finals, and that's Atlanta. Again, I'm not going to get down on a team that's struggling early. We still got a lot of basketball to play. Has it been injuries? Has it been cohesiveness? Atlanta, I feel like, turned the corner, but it doesn't look like they've turned the corner. What do you make of the Hawks?
Yeah, every team's dealing with some sort of injury and illness right now. The Hawks are no different. Bogdanovich has been out here for a while. Cam Reddish has gone. DeAndre Hunter is also out. So that's an easy sort of cop-out excuse to say they're dealing with injuries, but everybody's dealing with that. The Hawks just haven't been that good so far. You know, they're 13-12. They've turned it around a little bit. They've been decent at home, but struggled on the road. I think, you know, after what they did last season, they had high expectations. I certainly had much greater expectations for this team. And I think part of it is just you're sort of dealing with that. You know, they surprised a few teams by getting to the conference finals. In fact, the only team to beat the Bucks on the Bucks home court in the playoffs last season. So, you know, that's a team that is a legit team, but it's a little bit different when you sneak up on teams during one season versus coming into the season. People are like, wow, you know, watch out for the Hawks here. Trae Young, you know, his name's been thrown around the MVP conversation coming into the season. You know, John Collins, he signed the extension in the offseason. So they've got some good young pieces here. Nate McMillan had a fantastic end to the season as coach there. But the Hawks, you know, it's always a little bit more difficult just living up to the hype rather than sort of coming from nowhere and catching teams off guard. And I think that's what the Hawks did last season. And I think that's why they are struggling a little bit. I have faith in this team. I think they are better than where they sit right now, which is ninth. So good enough for the play-in tournament. I think they will be better. But 25 games into the season, 13-12, not convinced yet that they are. So I think the next 25 games for the Hawks here are also pretty crucial because you want to see some separation between that sort of play-in group and then the sort of home court advantage in the first round group. And the Hawks should be, in my opinion, much closer to that sort of top four than where they are right now.
Lee Ellis of The Athletic talking some NBA. I hope to get you on just before the holidays because of what, you know, the Christmas games and whatnot. But if we don't, if we can't hook up, I wish you a happy holiday, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you very much for having me, Tony. Same to you guys.
You got it. Again, Lee Ellis of The Athletic. And again, I hope to get him on just before, maybe a week before the Christmas break or whatnot, just because Christmas is the big day for the NBA. And he's one of our top NBA guys because those games are, you know, are fun to watch. But it's kind of at that point, Ron and I joke about it. It's kind of like the start. By that time, it's kind of weird. You can move on and play well and catch a wave and whatnot. But around Christmas is when you really started feeling whether or not things are working or not. And then you might see teams change, but you can't be like hovering around mediocrity and then be like, it's after Christmas going, all right, we'll just do this for a while. I think he's right about LeBron. Again, I've heard it. You all heard it. LeBron in the postseason, you know, it is what it is. He takes that extra level. And before you know it, no one's beating him. But I do think there is an issue here with this Lakers team. He's older. This team is gives up way too many points, and they're terrible defensively, struggling in terms of just giving some wins. And you add Golden State back into this mix, and with Phoenix as good as they are, and Utah still being very good. And by the way, Memphis has won 5 in a row without Ja Morant. Not one game in Memphis's win streak had Ja Morant in the lineup. Not one. He's been out the whole time. And they've won 5 in a row. Yes, Dallas is injured, Denver's injured, right, and whatnot. But will you add Golden State right back into a Western Conference? They've disappeared for 2 years, right? I mean, a year, you know, a year actually. I want to say two because the bubble they weren't around for the bubble, and then last year they were in the play-in game. So two.
It kind of feels like they're the Patriots.
Yeah, two seasons away. it's two seasons away. That's right. So it's two.
Yeah, it was like they're telling the rest of the Western Conference, guys, you get a break from the Warriors.
Yeah, you get a break from the Warriors.
Break's
chill
over.
Out a little bit. We got some things to fix. Yeah. And then he talks about getting Klay Thompson back, and he's right. It's like signing a free agent.
Right.
He hasn't been around since the 2019 finals, and then just going to add him to an already 24-4 basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, he was decent.
Yeah, right. It's like if you thought the Warriors were just going to go away and hide for a bit, they're right back in your life again.
That's why they're right? The Patriots
just winning games. That's right. They're like just like the Patriots. It is Wake Up Call in Sports Map Radio.